You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lore cast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast. I'm N7 the Legend.
And I'm Genesis. Join us
as we explore along tides of light
and through shoals of dust
to see where this lore began
and consider where it may go.
Spectres, welcome back to another exciting week, news-filled week of the Mass Effect Lorecast. We're going to be talking about news and how it relates to the lore, and joining me as always is Genesis. Genesis, I think I saw your co-host there. I saw a little cattail going by. Is Maya trying to get on your PC again?
No, she is not allowed on top of the tower anymore. I built a barrier. So good. I have my biotics in place, but now she demands to be on the lap during the show, which I can deal with.
Naturally. Okay. And then joining us today to help break down some of this news that we got from the past in 7 day, just 4 days ago, is Bon Diesel. Bon, thank you for joining the show.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I'm always willing to talk, and especially about this kind of stuff. It's a good outlet for me.
Bon, you've been running the Mass Effect Hypecast for how long now?
I think since last year, I want to say. I believe it was, I know it was before N7Day last year. So I think it's been about a year.
And before then, you were covering N7Day news since what, 2021, 2020?
I think 2021, because I'm a new fan as of the Legendary Edition. So I'm kind of, even though I'm old, I actually worked. It was at least Mass Effect 2's midnight release at GameStop when I was in college. And there's a chance I worked all three games. I just don't remember, if I have to be honest. So
that's so cool.
It's pretty wild. For years, I had friends telling me, like, you need to play it. You'll love it. I was like, oh, no, I like Call of Duty. And then I grew up. So since 2021 is when I kind of got everything going, and It's been a lot of fun.
And you keep your ear to the ground on a lot of industry news as well. And you've been doing that for other games as well.
Yes. Yeah. So I started making content for Ubisoft's game called The Division that came out in 16. And then I started making content for it in 17, I believe. And I, my main podcast, which is called The Bonfire, used to be called The Echo Cast. And was a podcast I started back then, and it's at episode 360 something.
Oh, so, who's counting?
Yeah, right. So I started off, and the big thing with that was the Division 2 went to development as I did that, and I did all the sleuthing and paying attention to hiring and doing all of that to kind of try to get an idea of where they were at. I may or may not have also had some people on the dev team who told me way more than they probably should have about it. And so that experience has kind of led me to paying attention to the next Mass Effect. Unfortunately, I don't quite have the same sources I did back then with that game, but it's still fun.
That's all right. We've got time. And speaking of time, I want to paint the picture a little bit for all of our listeners who maybe they're just like more of a casual Mass Effect fan. Maybe you play the games a lot, but you just don't interact on social media that much about Mass Effect. So I want to paint the picture a little bit about what it was like kind of leading up to N7Day and what each of us had heard or seen from the community, the larger online community, fans, even friends of yours, what the chatter was like. I can go ahead and start. You know, for me, I think there is a great disparity among fans in the Mass Effect world, right? On one end of the spectrum, you had fans who are like, ooh, rah, rah, let's go in 7 day. Can't wait to get the details. I am so effing psyched for this next game, right? And then on the other end of the spectrum, you had bitter old fucks like me. And you had people like, yeah, I'm expecting disappointment. So then that way I'm never disappointed. So, and by disappointment, it just expecting to see absolutely nothing. So you had people like that. And in somewhere in the middle, I think most people were hovering around cautious optimism, where it's exciting, you know, I'd love to see something more about the game. I'm not necessarily expecting it. Anyone at least who had been keeping up the past few years. Genesis, what do you think? What had you heard from people you knew and other people in the community?
I very much the same. There was definitely the spectrum. I think I was more leaning on the whatever information you give me, I'm going to be happy. So I was the cheerful side of your spectrum on that one. And I love that each time we get a little nugget of information, so many theories and like ideas and the conversation sparks back up around it. And one of my favorite things about N7 Day is the artwork that comes out every year. People are so creative, and I absolutely love seeing that. It just makes the fandom even greater.
And we've been, I mean, on the Lorecast at least, we've been analyzing that artwork since, like, the Liara trailer in 2020. And we'll be talking about that a little bit later. But, Bon, I wanted to hear, you know, what you had heard leading up to N7 Day. What was the sentiment like?
So for me, I was kind of on my campaign of making all the pre N7 Day videos of doing what we know so far and what I think is going to happen and all this stuff. And yeah, the comments to those videos were pretty telling. And it's the same thing that you two said. It was there's people all over the spectrum on it. I think, you know, for someone like me who's newer to paying attention to this stuff, I'm not a grizzled veteran who's been doing this for 15 years with this franchise. You know, I'm new to it, you know, and I feel like a lot of the people who watch my videos and stuff like that are kind of similar, because I think I'm too optimistic for the people who have been through it, you know? But even then, like it's definitely, you can tell people I think there's a lot of anxiety in the community about the game and the studio in general. You know, you have the acquisition stuff going on with EA, and that, you know, it's going to be what it's going to be. And then you have, you know, the layoffs that have been, you know, every time a blog pops up on BioWare's website, I think everyone is like, okay, did Gary McKay write it? Did Mike Gamble write it? Because if Gary McKay wrote it, it's probably bad news. If Mike Gamble wrote it, it's probably fun stuff. And I think that's just kind of where everyone's at. And so I think, like you guys said, it was either people, you know, and this is where I fall in. Give me anything. Any news is good news, in my opinion. I'll take whatever you give me, and I'll make 20 videos about it. Let's do it. But I don't blame the people who are pessimistic. I can't. You just can't. I can't do that. That's just not in my nature necessarily. But I 100% understood.
Now, Bon, I actually went on your show, the Hypecast, to talk about N7 Day and what we'd gotten. If it wasn't last year, it was 2 years ago, I think. And we actually did it twice. So I think we also spoke 1 year ago. And I remember one of those times, I think it was 2 years ago, I was very, very upset because I felt as if the studio was misleading people into thinking the game was further along in development than it truly was. That was the year that they put out the duster video with the N7 agent coat on the short
23.
Yeah. Short walking clip of them walking down a hallway, pans up. You see the Daft Punk helmet cut. That one I was very upset about. I was not nearly as upset when we got to N7 Day this year. And part of that was because I tempered my expectations. But the other part was the blog post, and that's where I want to go now. So POV, it's N7 Day. It's like 8 a.m. I want to say 8 a.m. on the West Coast, 11 a.m. on
it was 11,
East Coast time. And I was like a totally sane individual refreshing the BioWare blog come like 8. I knew it was probably going to land around like 8, 9 a.m. So I was like, yeah, let's do that. And then I refreshed it and I'm boom, blog post. For a sheer second, that anxiety that you described took over. And I was like, oh no, what if this is the unlikely but dreaded announcement that they are closing the studio, right? Sure. Because that news with EA getting bought out is still fresh in everyone's memory. So, yeah, that thought ran through my mind. I quickly dispelled that thought because we have the, and so we have the blog post here in front of us. If you missed it, we'll read it to you and we'll stop to give you kind of our take on each part. So it starts with, "Happy in 7 day, everyone. You guessed it. I come to you with another blog. But each year that I write these, they are important moments of reflection for me. I get to pause and think about how truly lucky we are to have Mass Effect and how thankful we are for the community and support we get. We've been through a lot together and we appreciate you." So this opening to me says, like, thank you for being patient.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
That's it's a long-winded way of saying, like, okay, let's all breathe. We're still working on it, but thank you for your patience. We know that that we have teased this a while ago.
Because, and not to butt in too much, but think about what this is like for them. like that's something I always try to consider, is that, like, if we think it's anxiety inducing to, you know, oh no, what's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to the game? Is it ever going to come out? What's, you know, are they going to this, that, or the other? Like, this is their lives.
Right. This is their job.
Like, yeah, I agree. Dude, that, I feel like even just that first paragraph was him just being like, okay, folks, we're all in this together. Like, let's just.
Right. Which I think Genesis, we've talked about it at least in other games context before. It just, like, to do this, to display a level of empathy for your fandom is actually far more impressive than a lot of people give it credit for. Because I think if I were in their position, I, being the bitter person that I am, would probably say something along the lines of, these entitled assholes, you know what I mean? We're working our butts off and they don't even, you know, have anything yet and they're mad about it. So, yeah, I think it would be all too easy to fall into that bitter trap, right? And a lot of people would think this is flowery prose in this blog post at the very beginning, but he didn't have to write that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, because we have seen games that come out horribly, and then the studio takes that feedback and makes the game great via Cyberpunk. You know, everybody knows how catastrophic that one was, but how absolutely amazing that game is now because they took the time, they truly listened to the people who were like, no, go back and spend more time on this because we want to love this game as much as you wanted us to. And I think that could also be, so this feels to me like, hey, we're going to make the game that we're going to be proud of. So just wait with us.
Yeah, exactly. Like, bear with us. We are hard at work. And then it goes on to say, like you, we've heard the rumors lately. I loved the sentence because it is so clear what he means. Like, translation, we've heard the rumors lately. Translation, we're not dead. We are still working on this game and it is still coming. Because Gamble goes on to say, you've made it clear that you deeply care about what's next. So let's start by setting the record straight. The next Mass Effect game is in development, and EA and BioWare remain committed to telling more stories in this universe. Whew. Okay. Confidence, a little bit of calm. We can all exhale. And when I say all, I mean all of us, because even if you didn't enunciate it, like I did hear from several people before this in 7 day, the doom and gloom of BioWare getting shuttered, or at least us learning about it on in 7 day, that's not a reality. That's not what we got.
I also like how it says more stories with an S in this universe. I picked up on that.
That's a great catch. Yeah, it's not just talking about, yeah, we're working on the next Mass Effect. It's, you know, and then.
And I think they've said that. I think that's been said before in the blog. I would have to.
No, you're right. I was just fairly, looking.
No, the Gary McKay one from January, where that blog was so funny. Not funny. It was awful because it involved people losing their jobs. But, like, it was. That was the blog where the main point of the blog was like, hey, we're working on Mass Effect, and that's what we're focusing on. Oh, by the way, the people that we temporarily moved to other studios, they're staying there, and the writing staff is all gone. But, you know, but in that blog, I'm pretty sure he said that as well, of like implying multiple stories.
And, in 7 Day from 2 years ago, the blog post, if I remember right, Mike Gamble actually said that you will be enjoying Mass Effect for years to come. Or I'm paraphrasing here, but basically the way that he'd phrased it was that they are potentially working on the storyline for multiple next Mass Effect games, which would be amazing.
Well, and that's what I've been thinking about the whole time is I really doubt you make another Mass Effect game with the intent of making one more. Like, it just... I don't see, you know, from a lot of perspectives of like how much time EA is going to give them, how much of a budget they're going to be allowed to have. Like, I don't think the game would even be allowed to be scaled to the point where it's going to be some 100-hour epic that tells, you know, some insane story. More than likely, I'm assuming this is going to be a smaller scaled game, and then they'll see what happens.
See, already the sarcastic commentary here in our live chat and Twitch, people saying, yeah, stories meaning maybe one game plus the TV show, or you can find one of those stories on a can of Madrina's N7 Fruit Punch Charged Refresher. So yeah, maybe stories is probably not going to be the most descriptive form of what we get next. Now we get a little bit of candor from Mike Gamble in this next part, where he says, "The truth is, the last few years have been an incredibly busy time at BioWare. But currently, the team is heads down and focused exclusively on Mass Effect." Okay, what can we get from those two sentences? That prior, their attention was divided, and they were not exclusively focused on Mass Effect. That should not come as a surprise to anybody, given that we knew they were working on Veilguard and trying to get it out the door, you know, out from development hell into the world of gamers, you know what I mean? And now that that's out, they can focus on Mass Effect.
Yeah, this didn't come as a shock to me about them working exclusively on Mass Effect now, because they've stated that in the previous blogs. You know, we've heard in the past that this agile team is working on one game at a time. And now it's our time. Now it's Mass Effect time. So this, they're following through with what they've said in the past years, where this, you know, I hate to use their phrasing of this mobile and agile slim team is working on one game at a time. And now that they have everything else cleared off the plate, now it's Mass Effect's turn.
Every time you say agile, an angel loses its wings.
That should be familiar from your cyberpunk fandom of the corpo speak of we are being more efficient and agile. And one thing that caught my eye a while back was that Jason Schreier article about the Veilguard that talked about how, and he, I don't know if he straight up said it. I mean, he kind of did. He's pretty blunt, especially with BioWare. But it, the way I read it, and this is coming from a bias of more of a Mass Effect fan than Dragon Age fan, is it kind of read to me like the BioWare Mass Effect team came in and kind of got that game out the door where it probably wasn't going to, or at least it wasn't heading in that direction. And like the implication, I believe, was along the lines of like the final act was basically the Mass Effect team doing Mass Effect 2 again and doing the suicide mission. And that was also my favorite part of that game. So there's like the tiniest parts of me that, you know, that article was about, you know, the tough development of Veilguard. But to me, and this is probably my bias coming out, is, you know, and we're talking about, you know, this situation, is it kind of was like, oh yeah, the team who's making the game I'm excited for finished. And, you know, and the way it happened sucked. And when you see the leadership team of the Veilguard is all gone now, many of them by their own choice and some not, You know, I feel like that was probably, I suspect it's not their choice to be making one game at a time right now. I suspect they got moved over to Dragon Age, and now the directive is, okay, we can't do that again. You're on one game, and now it's Mass Effect.
Right. And that being said, the fact that there has been so many people laid off or left BioWare, I wonder how that's going to impact their transition as they transition Mass Effect from Frostbite. Like YouTube's here in chat says, from Frostbite to Unreal Engine 5. I mean, shifting engines is not going to, like, that's not easy on any developer, I think, unless you're already skilled. But Unreal Engine 5 is still relatively new. So if you had a lot of veterans in the room who were skilled with Frostbite, used to working with Frostbite, maybe it'll be a little bit of a learning curve, or has been a learning curve, to transition to Unreal 5. I get it. Their attention was split with Veilguard. I think maybe there will be a little bit of delay, in as much as, you know, Mass Effect 2 and 3 used the same engine, right? So there wasn't a lot more to learn. The focus was on new assets, new cinematics, new story, new mechanics. Not in, okay, let's go back and learn literally how to work in this engine.
Yeah, and with the trilogy, the one thing to keep in mind, and I've noticed as a newer fan, is, you know, it's insane to think, especially in the modern day gaming sphere, that they put out three games, a whole trilogy, and a big giant RPG in one generation of console. They did, and within a few years, basically, you know, the span that they took to make all three games, now it's one game that you get out of that time frame. And you can see how they did it, is that the first game is kind of low detail, huge scale. Mass Effect 2, a little bit smaller scale, a little bit more detail. Mass Effect 3, incredible detail, itty bitty scale, you know. And I've always found that interesting to know this.
Yeah. So they, Gamble goes on in this and says, now that they are exclusively focused on Mass Effect, quote, "We have a lot of universe to cover, lots of features to build, and lots of romances to figure out." Okay. I think that's, you know, confirmation that we get some romances in the next Mass Effect. I don't know if that was ever up, you know, for debate. I think everyone kind of expected that, but it's good to get that confirmation. We're excited by what we're building, and we promise you, when we are ready, it'll be a lot of fun to show. Until then, thank you for your patience, because y'all are thirsty for news, and I see you looking for secret meanings in my tweets. Okay, sometimes they have secret meanings. So, a couple of thoughts from me on this one. When Gamble says, we're excited by what we're building, and we promise you, when we are ready, it'll be a lot of fun to show. This is what I was talking about with you a couple years ago, Bon, where I was like, BioWare, please don't let, like, the developers, don't let marketing push you to overpromise, you know? Like, just be honest. This is what I was talking about. So good on Mike Gamble to just be like, full stop, we're gonna like, you know, give you the responsible message, which is that we are still working on it. We just straight up don't have a lot to show you right now, but when we are ready, it will be a lot of fun to show. What do you guys think about this?
I agree with that, and I want them to do that. Don't give me things that aren't ready to be seen yet. Don't make promises that are not going to be able to be kept. Don't put a timeline on things if you're not ready and able to hit those timeline goals. If you don't tell me what the timeline is, I'm not going to know what the timeline is. So don't tell me what to expect and then unfortunately get disappointed when that can't be made. Going with a little bit of vagueness on, like, they're building these things, they're figuring these things out right now, that's all me as the future consumer really needs to know. If I was on the dev team, yeah, I need to know what my fucking timeline is so that way I can actually do my job. But my job is to enjoy the game that you wanted to produce. That's my job.
Yeah, absolutely. Bon, you have anything to add?
Yeah, like what you were talking about before with the engine, like, you know, I'm sure they had stuff they could have shown. They probably could show us concept art. They could show us maybe little bits and bobs and stuff like that, which I would love, but that may not really be good for the message right now. And the thing you were talking about before with the engine, you know, they are switching over to Unreal Engine 5. That's been pretty clear for a while, even back to at least 2021 when I started paying attention. They've had job listings all the way back to then, being very clear that they wanted people with Unreal. Well, back then they said Unreal Engine 4 experience because 5 had like just come out. And now if you look, even the two job listings that just got filled in the last month or so, we're both requesting, they were level designer jobs. We're both saying they require Unreal Engine experience. The chances are, you know, if this game's been in some kind of pre-production since 2019, 2020, the majority of that time has probably been them putting in all the infrastructure they need to make a game on a different engine than what they've done since Mass Effect 3, because Inquisition was Frostbite, I believe, and everything since then has been. So, like, they're, you know, having to build new processes, new everything. And that's probably what they've been doing for a lot of that time. And, you know, like I think both of you have said, as much as I would love to see anything they're willing to show me, I also am cool if they take their time and wait till they're ready.
And speaking of staffing, I've noticed that you've really kept your ear to the ground on that with different job postings that go up so that you can glean some details about the development status from that. What's the latest overall picture that you're getting from when you look at, you know, what jobs are open, what jobs have been taken down, potentially filled?
So back in like 2021, I believe that's when they had like 5 or 6 director jobs posted and they all got filled that year. And as far as I know, all those people are still there. So that was like Mary DeMarley, who came over from Eidos, I believe, who did the Deus Ex games and the Guardians of the Galaxy game, which if you've never played that game, it's the dialogue wise, the closest we've ever gotten to Mass Effect since Mass Effect, which makes me super happy that she's still in that position. In 2022, they had some job listings that were referencing Mass Effect. And then 23 and 24 were almost exclusively Dragon Age. And they were contractor jobs almost exclusively. 6-month, 12-month contracts. There was nothing specifically for Mass Effect for almost 2 years. And then this year, there's been at least 3 or 4 Mass Effect specific job listings. And the two that just got filled, one came off the board, I think the day before in 7 Day. And then the other was the day of. It was a principal level designer, which from when I was reading the description, I think is a direct report to Mike, to Gamble, and then lead level designer, which I assume is the person under that. And from what I was seeing people chatter about and people I've chatted with, those are significant positions to be hiring for. And, you know, he talks about development, that we're developing the game. What I'm waiting for is that post of we're in full production, because they did that for Veilguard. And if you go from that post until release, it was only like 2.5 years. I think people forget that these games get made a lot faster than you think. Once they get the wheels turning, things happen fast. It's the wheels turning, you know, the scaffolding that takes all this time. It's really getting EA to say, yes, you can actually make this game. There's been more activity in the last 6 months with hiring than there has been in the last 2.5-3 years. So take that for what it is.
And you said, you know, from that blog post about Veilguard to the time that it released, it was about 2.5 years. Veilguard also encountered a lot of problems that Mass Effect is likely not going to have to. That doesn't say that Mass Effect won't have its Mass Effect development won't have its own issues. But sure. You know, from what I've read of reporting about the development process behind Veilguard, that really looked like development hell. And on top of that, it was during COVID.
And they basically made 3 games. From what I've read, they started making 1 game that got nixed one way or the other. They basically started making another game and that got nixed. And then from the ashes of that, Veilguard happened. And when you know that, like, I liked Veilguard. I'm not really that big of a Dragon Age fan. I enjoyed it. It seems like me not being a Dragon Age fan might have been part of why I enjoyed it so much. I'm not steeped in that lore. I'm not, you know, I just thought it was a fun game, and I thought it was, like, pretty. And I thought it, you know, I thought the story was kind of fun. I didn't love everything about it. I definitely have my complaints. But, like, that game went through so much to exist, and you, like, I just don't think you can presume that Mass Effect will go through the same issues. You know, you never know what can happen, but that was such a unique circumstance. It seems like when you see Mark Dara talk about that development cycle and how all that stuff happened, you just kind of hope, at least, that Mass Effect won't go through that too.
Right on. The blog post continues for a little bit more and some promising details to me, because it says, beyond the next game, there's more to get excited about. I haven't talked about it much, but you might have heard a little something about a TV series. Oh, and now at this point, you know, my eyebrows are peaking.
Had you not heard of it?
I had heard. But it was just that literally the week before this, Genesis and I were talking with our patrons on the show, and we all kind of agreed that we were most likely to hear something definitive about the TV show, not about the game, because TV shows, the production is a lot faster. Gamble goes on to say, we've been partnering closely with Amazon on it, and we're really excited with what the talented team over there is coming up with. The writer's room is going strong, and we've got a lot figured out about how it fits within the Mass Effect canon. Okay, that's promising. So it's going to be canon. And where it sits in respect to the new game. The show will explore a brand new story within the universe's timeline, and it will be set after the original trilogy. Whoa. Okay. Huge details, actually, because this is like the first solid details about Mass Effect canon lore that we've got in so long.
Sure.
Like, oh my God. Okay, so let's
trilogy canon lore on top of that.
Exactly. So let's revisit this a little bit in case anyone was trying to rewind real quick. Okay, so number one, the show is going to explore a brand new story. So we're not getting a rehash of Shepard's story. That's
yes. It happy, happy.
Yes. And Gamble says it will not be a retread of Commander Shepard's story, because after all, that's your story, isn't it? So not a rehash of Shepard's story, not a rehash of any of the novels, not a rehash of the First Contact War, or it could be, but not any prequel, because Gamble says it will be set after the original trilogy. So after 2186.
It could be 2187.
Could be 2187. Could
not
be
before. Sure.
Could be 2787. So it's not exactly, you know, super, super descriptive about what the date is, but at least we get that confirmation that it's a brand new story, presumably with brand new characters within the same Mass Effect universe, and it's set after the original trilogy. Notice he did not say Milky Way.
It is set within the universe's timeline, and that could be at any point on the timeline, 500 years in the future, who knows. I'm so happy about this, though. This was something that I got really excited about, with it giving us actual details, solid information, and that we can work with. And so now it makes me even more excited for the TV show.
And also basically nothing. Like, he basically quelled fears, but didn't give anything away, which is what he's supposed to do. You know, it was a good statement.
I think, I agree. It wasn't incredibly descriptive, but he knew what we wanted, what we were afraid about. So clearly, Mike Gamble and other people that work with him are attuned to what this community cares about. And I'm willing to bet you that someone on the games development side really pushed the writers of the TV show, let us give them something At least this. At least let us confirm to the fans that the TV series is going to be after the original trilogy. Seriously, just a little thing. Just let us, please. It will go a long way. I promise you. Like, I can just imagine that conversation now. Because especially with, you know, TV shows and games, you know, as we just heard from Peter Jessup, like, a couple weeks ago, or was it last week, that they are very protective of their IPs. So I was kind of surprised to even get that after so many years of teases. But that's huge. And for me, it also makes me think that the TV show could quite likely serve the purpose that the trilogy of novels did in the original trilogy of games, where each game had a companion novel that came out kind of right before it and bridged the gap between each game.
Setting the stage.
Yeah. Yeah, so who knows? Maybe this TV show is going to set the stage. Maybe it'll connect the Milky Way storyline to Andromeda's storyline. Who knows? Sorry, Bon, you wanted to say something?
Well, I do have to probably bring on some hate to myself. I'm probably one of the few people who I prefer what they seem to be doing, moving on from Mass Effect 3, moving forward, and likely being the bridge to the next game. I as a newer fan, I assume is the main reason I would have been okay in some capacity with a rehash of the original, and not really because I want them to do that, because that would cause so many problems and it would upset the people who were their target audience already. But one thing I've talked a lot about in my own content is about how one of the things I think Veilguard struggled with is that it had been a decade since their last game. And one of the things that happened, at least from what I recognized, is that they didn't really make their existing fans happy with a lot of the things they did in that game, and they also didn't really appeal to new fans that well, because they kind of didn't market it a ton. And there's lots of things that happened there, like literally their main marketing partner, Game Informer, shut down before months before the game came out. So I've thought a lot about how they're going to market Mass Effect to a new audience and try to keep their existing audience. Because, you know, if you think about Andromeda, it's going to be at least 10 years from Andromeda by the time this game likely comes out. Not to mention the trilogy, which I think, now if you think about Legendary Edition, which literally brought me on, so maybe that, you know, helps them stay a little more relevant. My only reason I thought that maybe rehashing the original story would have been okay was to bring people into the universe at the beginning. But I'm glad they didn't do that, because I don't think they could have done it in a way that would have made anyone happy.
Yeah, I agree with that. Genesis, what do you think?
I fully agree with that. I don't think that a rehashing of Shepard's story would have been... I think it would have alienated a lot of the older fans of, like, this was my story, and now I'm seeing it being played out. Like, because no matter what, it wasn't going to look like our Shepard's. Nope. You know, our Shepard's all are so individual and personalized to us. And then the decisions that we make, the romances that we pick, the people that we choose to bring with us on these missions, those are all very personal to us. And so that's why I didn't really like the idea of it being a rehash of that. But I also believe that the TV series is going to be a lead up to the next game, because it is something that BioWare is so well known for. They did the books and the comic books for Mass Effect. They did the books for Andromeda. They did comic books and books for the original Dragon Age, trilogy. And then most recently, they did do a Netflix animated series and an audio drama podcast for the Veilguard. But the Netflix animated series was really, really good, but they didn't tie any of those characters into the Veilguard story, which I think was a huge loss on from that. But so hopefully they will be able to tie these stories together better than what they did for Veilguard. I am a pretty big Dragon Age fan as well. And I didn't play those games until like 5-6 years ago. And that's when I really started getting into them. Way less than that. It was 3 years ago that I really started playing Dragon Age. And so I didn't have that huge weight time in between Inquisition and the Veil Guard, so I was still really excited about it. But a lot of my friends are like, it was way too big of a gap.
So you're kind of like me with Mass Effect. Can I ask you two something? I'm curious. Do you guys wish it was an animated show and not live action?
Yeah, I do. I do, for one, because I feel like there's far less room to butcher the way that these aliens, especially the non-humanoid ones, look if you're just doing animated show. Whereas live action, I don't know if you're going to rely on CGI. It's incredibly expensive. I don't know if you're going to lean into, you know, Gen AI, which could really rile some feathers. I don't know how you're going to depict that. Are you going to just put someone in a Hanar suit, like a horse costume? You know, like, what are you going to do? Right. I would prefer an animated series. Genesis, I see you shaking your head. No, you'd prefer live action. Really?
Only because I grew up watching Star Trek, sure. Like going through the Next Generation, Voyager, all of those shows where, yeah, given the time and the money and the expertise, you can make aliens look really realistic and have them be believable. And especially now that you've got Amazon money being thrown at it. I'm sorry, watching Fallout 4, I believe ghouls are real. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yeah, I would Fallout believe show's great. something that they would do. So I think, and the animated series, I'm not a big animation person.
Gotcha.
You know, I kind of grew out of watching cartoons a while ago.
No, okay, seriously. Like, there's cartoons, and then there is adult animation, right? Like Blood of Zeus on Netflix. It's a great example.
Yes.
I'm not letting my child watch that.
No. And I agree. There, I mean, like, I love Vox Machina. I watched all of that. I watched the Cyberpunk Edgerunners anime. Absolutely love that. But it takes more for me to want to watch an animated series than it does a live action.
Those also probably take longer to make. Like, that's a thing, too, that animation is insanely hard to do. And just to throw it out there, it's worth also considering that Unreal Engine 5 is what a lot of TV studios and movie studios are using for special effects nowadays.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So there's a very real chance that in some capacity they could share assets to a point, and that would be quite interesting, something to consider as well.
Not just assets, but maybe even staff. And the other thing about that's really interesting to think about, regardless of whether it was animated or live action, the Mass Effect TV show, if it does happen to be a companion, or even if it's not, they can come out with multiple seasons, season after season after season, kind of bridging that gap until we wait for the next game, which would make it, I think, for the entire fan base, a little bit easier than just waiting with nothing.
I didn't even think about multiple seasons. Here I am going like, give me an episode and I will be happy. But now, sure, thinking about the idea of multiple seasons bringing along a storyline and things like that, that makes it really intriguing. Right. I mean, the second season of Fallout comes out here in a couple of weeks.
Yep,
exactly. And I think if they do it right, it will be a smash hit just like Fallout. And then, you know, you would get that second season, maybe even a third. But let's wrap up the blog post and then go to the mid-break. Mike Gamble says, keep an eye on our social channels for more celebrations today on in 7 Day, November 7th, including some awesome new Mass Effect gear. I've ranted about how great they are at putting out new Mass Effect gear. I remember when they were just as good at shipping masterpieces. But anyway, they've got free crossover items, he says, appearing in Skate and Apex Legends and more. Happy in 7 Day, Mike Gamble, executive producer, Mass Effect. P.S. Disclaimer, there is no secret game information to be gleaned by anything I'm saying today, I promise. Well, that turned out to be a lie.
He's a stinker.
That turned out to be a lie. The thing you can't hear from listening to us read this blog post is there were letters seemingly randomly strewn throughout it that were italicized. And when you put them all together, you got URL Krogan. Now, some internet sleuths put this all together and found that it actually led to some artwork. Now, I'm going to be showing the artwork here on screen. This is what you're missing if you aren't watching our live streams or going on YouTube. So here's the artwork that's that it was linked to, and it's a picture of Krogan, and on the bottom it just says Civil War, and it's a picture of a score of Krogan. Looks like they're in an organized military of some sort, and they're all firing kind of at the same direction as the point of view from where you're looking. It's really hard to make out exactly where they are, but I see a lot of Krogan soldiers. I see a Argus rifle. I see a is that a Talon pistol? What pistol is it? Executioner, I think, actually.
I think so.
Yeah, and so looks like a very similar scene from what we're used to in the original trilogy, at least in terms of firearms and armor. All of the Krogan are wearing helmets with a breather on them, except for one in the very foreground. And Genesis, you want to describe what we're seeing with that Krogan in particular?
So yeah, this is the interesting boy here that we're looking at. He caught my eye because I recognize those whiskers. There's only one other Krogan that we have met in the entire Mass Effect series that has a beard-like whiskers on his face, these bony-like protrusions coming off of his chin. And that was Nakamura Drak in Andromeda.
Now, Drak had both of his eyes, correct? Because it looks like one of this Krogan's eyes is like gone. Like there's a scar over it and the eyeball is there, but it looks milky white, like he's blind in that eye.
Yeah. I don't think that this is Drak, but this is just another way of tying it into Andromeda, because we don't know if those protrusions were something that Drak naturally had, or something that happened in that 500-year span of the cryogenic, of the being frozen, because we know that a lot of Krogan did end up changing. That's why some of them are like they're very different. And so I don't know if these protrusions are something from, these are now Andromeda Krogan, or something that happens naturally.
Or maybe this is just like a thing for Krogan now, right? Like maybe the appearance of Krogan is evolving with the series. Bon, what do you think?
I mean, it could be like a lineage thing, you know, for all we know. Maybe there's a family or a bloodline of Krogan that look like this when they get old. Maybe, you know, that's, you know, Drak came from the Milky Way, you know, so it's, you know, one way or the other. I can't remember. Because I guess Rex was considered to be pretty old, but he didn't have, you know, that similar thing. So the one of the things I noticed right there, we can see a Varan to the left a bit there, like an attack dog.
Oh, yep.
There's a Varan there. And then there's two of those. I don't know how to pronounce it right. Someone put it in chat. The tanks. There's two tanks as well. So one is above that Varan.
Yeah, the Tom.
So there's one there. And then there's one all the way on the right. That you can see the kind of red line of the visor.
Yeah.
The other thing I've noticed about this as well is that circular architecture in the background looks a whole lot like Grunt's
breeding tank. Yes.
No, it looks like his loyalty mission in two. The hammer where you summon the sacrificial. The worm. I can't remember it right now.
The Cal, or not Cal Russ, the Thresher Maw. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So the last thing I noticed here is, and I think a lot of discussions happened about this, is their weapons, in that they have the glowing bits on them. And I've seen a lot of people speculate that maybe that's like a new ammunition system or something like that. I've proposed that this could be a gameplay element that they're already previewing, where in Mass Effect 2 and 3, whenever you picked a certain kind of ammo, it would have the little hologram, which, if you think about, if it was real life, like if you were a first person shooter, that thing would be covering your entire face because it was so, it was a gameplay element for the games, obviously. I'm wondering if maybe this is a preview of how they're going to show ammo types on guns by just having like a glowing bit. It's a little more aesthetically pleasing, a little more grounded.
Sure. Yeah. And it also gives, at least for this artwork, a splash of color that's not orange. Because it is very, very orange. There's lots of flames, lots of gunfire going on. We see one Krogan running with a hammer, or at least an oversized pipe wrench.
There's another one, and if you scroll down to the bottom middle, one in the very front of the frame, it's right there.
There it is.
There's another one right there.
Yep. So it's kind of like a hammer, blunt weapon-looking thing. That's really interesting. And if you zoom in on these Krogan's faces, it's not a full helmet that they're wearing. It's
they've got battle armor.
Yeah, it's a protection thing over the crest of their head, covering where their ears would be, and then a breather, but you can see their eyes. So like it's not like a completely closed helmet. They don't have a visor. And what's interesting to me is they have like what look to be filters coming out from this breather right here. Which would make me think, what has happened where the Krogan need breathers, right? Notoriously hardy Krogan, which there is some planet, I forget which planet it is now, but there is some planet card in Mass Effect that says no one else could colonize the place, basically. And the Krogan were the ones who were the only ones hardy enough to do it and could breathe the atmosphere, no problem. And I'm not talking about Garvug, by the way. I think we've talked about Garvug enough. I'll minimize that for now. And at the very bottom, it says Civil War. So we also get that artwork. When someone asks Mike Gamble on Twitter about that artwork, is this a past event or future? Because we know that the Krogan have gone through many wars in the past on their own homeworld of T'Chanka. And Gamble, to my surprise, once again, confirms something solid here and says, future. This is a future event. So this is something we have not seen in the games yet.
Wow, I didn't know that he confirmed that. That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, right? Really makes you think now, like, okay, so what are they fighting about? Like, I don't know. We have a lot of speculation. We can get to that in the second half, but I do want to push us to some of these tweets that Mike Gamble sent out. Because at least the first one is kind of telling to me. We started this episode with talking about where the community was leading up to N7 Day. And this is a tweet that Mike Gamble put out at 8:28. So like 28 minutes after posting that blog post, Mike Gamble puts out a tweet that says, for everyone yelling at me because we didn't use N7 Day to provide a whole bunch of info, ... I mean, I get it. I'm a fan too. I want you to see stuff, but it's not the time yet. Has it been years since announced? Yes. Have we been busy? Yes. Are we now 100% on Mass Effect? Also, yes. Bon, what did you think about this?
So he sent that before people figured out the Krogan Civil War thing. I think anyone who was around for the 2023 N7 Day is already trained that when you saw those italics, actually it was italics on the BioWare blog, and on the EA blog, it was actually bolded instead, those letters. I assume there's a formatting difference or something with them. And, so I knew, and I'm just not smart enough to figure that out. I tried, I gave my best college try to figure out, you know, how to find that picture. But I had to wait for, you know, smarter people to do it. And so I knew something else was coming. And I won't lie, my first reaction when I opened up the blog and it was all text was like, ah, come on. Like, give me a little more. Give me some concept art. Give me something. But his, you know, I'm glad I saw that tweet almost immediately and was like, you know what? Maybe I should chill out. And I'm glad he pushed back. I love when I see devs push back on people being jerks about things that they don't need to be jerks about. I love seeing devs stand up for themselves and their teams. So I'm happy that he put out that statement. And one day we'll forget that we didn't know anything because we'll know everything.
Yeah, well, it might be harder for me to forget because I have to focus on it every year, right? But Genesis, what did you think of Mike Gamble's statement here, you know, kind of telling all the fans who were, quote unquote, yelling at him to just basically back off?
Good for him. I mean, I've been saying it the whole time of let them do their job. Quit yelling at them for more. Quit pushing for the game to come out faster. Quit pushing for more information. We get what we get, and we'll get the game when we get the game.
Right on. Yeah. He sent another one later on in 7 day, around 12:57 p.m. I think he couldn't help himself here.
Yeah.
Because he says, everything you've seen, hyphen, from all in 7 days, hyphen, will connect. Cue the X-Files theme. So basically, everything is connected from all in 7 days. That's what he says. Okay, now we've got a lot to talk about in terms of speculation and where we think things are going, given what we've learned this in 7 day and apparently all in 7 days. But first, we got to go over to the mid break and thank our patrons. We'll be right back.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
We have beef, we have bacon, we have beer, the foods of my people.
Young men have funny ideas of what Asari are like. I blame the extranet and computer games.
Rex?
Shepherd.
Grunt.
Shepherd.
Rex. Grunt.
And here we are in the middle of the show where we read out your 5-star reviews that you've left for us on Apple or comments you've left on Spotify. And Genesis, we do have a new review coming in from Apple. The user named Sciences for Cool Kids gives us 5 stars from Australia. They say, quote, damn, this is literally the best podcast out there. I started Mass Effect Legendary Edition 2 years ago after a mediocre playthrough of Andromeda. I've been obsessed with Shepard and his crew since. Best podcast ever, heart. Well, thank you, Sciences for Cool Kids. I don't think we're the, like, best podcast ever, but we have a lot of fun.
Yeah. Also, science totally is for the cool kids. Fully agree with you on that one. Go science. Also, hello from Australia. Love that. I've been to Australia. Spent a lot of time in Sydney, so that's super awesome. And, you know, I don't think we're the best, but I think we're pretty damn awesome.
Yeah, I think we're pretty awesome as well. We also have this comment from Spotify on our patron chat episode talking about In 7 Day Expectations, where the cool stick says, I've been super excited for In 7 Day since last year, and this podcast has been one of the only things getting me through it. The dissection episode will be awesome no matter what happens. 5 stars, love this Lorecast. Well, thank you, Cool Stick. I hope that this episode that we are recording right now is indeed as awesome as you hoped it would be. But let's go over now to the voice line pop quiz, where we've got a little bit of a twist here. Bon is going to quiz me and you, Genesis, off of a voice line that Bon chose.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so I told Bon to send me this audio file, and I said, name it something inconspicuous, that way I don't know what it's called. And he named it BD Voice Line. Fair enough, Bon Diesel Voice Line. So, let's give it a listen right now.
On the double, mister.
Okay, that was pretty quick. Let's play it one more time just for people in their car.
On the double, mister.
Okay, on the double, mister. That's Mark Meer.
Obvious bro ship. On the double, mister.
Oh, I thought this was another. I mostly picked this because it's one of my favorite lines in the entire franchise, mostly because of the delivery. But I was afraid it was going to be too easy. So I'm happy if it's not.
So
no.
I should know this because I recognize it, but I cannot place it right now. On the double, mister, I feel like he has to be talking to Joker.
Yep.
So Shepard talking to Joker. Now we got to identify which game it is. Mass Effect 3.
Maybe 2 Suicide Mission.
This is Mass Effect 1. This was their corny era.
This was the corny era. Wow. Okay, well, I'm getting an announcement from Twitch chat here that Day Zero is going to replace me on the podcast. So, all
right. The chat has it right. It's at the end of the Therum mission where you get Liara when the cave is exploding before you fight that battle, the final battle master. You have 2 choices in the voice lines, and one of them is a little less, you know, whatever. But if you pick this one as Broshep, he says, in the most hilarious, in my opinion, one of the funniest voices possible, "On the double, mister." And then Joker responds, "Okay, I'm on my way." I every time I play through the series, which has been more times than I'm willing to admit at this point, I have to pick it every time because, you know, I think that a lot of people have mixed opinions on, you know, and it's okay to be either way or love both between Jennifer Hale and Mark Meer. I love how corny he was. Obviously a new voice actor in that first game and was kind of getting into that world, and some of the lines are so cheesy and I love it, and that's my favorite one every single playthrough.
Well, congrats, you stumped both of us, so congrats on that one. All right, well, now that we've been stumped, Genesis, let's thank our new patrons, Corey, Region Tech, and Iceberg Slim. Thank you all for joining the Patreon, where you can support us. And speaking of support, we should shout out our Tier 5 patrons who have continued their very generous level of support. So our Tier 5 patrons are Butts, Unfortunate Benefactor, William, Superfly440, Red Trobot, Lieutenant Tosina, Kara C, and Edboy. All right. And with that, let's get back to the rest of the show.
After time adrift among open stars, along tides of light and through shoals of dust, I will return to where I began.
Salarian reproduction different. Very little sex drive. If intended to try human, would try you.
Ow, my pancreas.
All right, here we are in the second half of the show. And as I promised, we're going to be spending the rest of the show speculating about what all this means, all this information that has and has not been confirmed, and where we think the series is going to go from here. Number one, I wanted to open it up to you, Bon, and as well as you, Genesis. Everything will connect. That's what Mike Gamble says. What does that mean? Is this some kind of masterpiece of lore woven throughout 5 years of teases now, or is this a placeholder to try and get us to spend one more year over analyzing and buying them more time?
Probably both, if I have to be totally honest, and that's cool. I'm on for the ride. I have been for 4 years, and I'm willing to be for longer. That was cool to me because I've seen a lot of people, and I don't blame them, but people being like kind of skeptical whether or not that 2020 trailer from the Game Awards is even still relevant, whether or not, you know, that bit of audio from Liara in that mass relay thing is even relevant. Like, and at least in my opinion, my interpretation of what he said is he's saying everything we've shown is relevant and it's all connected and it matters. And that just makes me happy.
I also think that those little lore bits were not really a whole lot of lore. It's not like they gave us any information that couldn't be easily woven into whatever storyline they put out. We see a person in an N7 jacket. Okay, that's easy. And then we see Liara, the one person who's almost absolutely guaranteed to survive the trilogy because of plot armor, finding a piece of armor that says N7 on it. We don't even know if that's Shepard's armor. We don't know if that's Vega's armor. It could be Legion's armor. Whosever N7 armor Liara is finding, it could be anyone's, and that could easily be brought in. The only other one that we haven't really talked about is the Geth poster. And so working that story into it also, okay, yeah, a Krogan, a Salarian, a Turian, and a human all are collecting bits of Geth that are dead Geth. That could also very easily be brought in. So yeah, I do think that everything can easily be woven in together. The only other thing that I had to say on this part was that it now actually officially canonizes that Dragon Age and Mass Effect happen in the same universe.
Please walk us through that one.
If all things put out on N7 Day are canon and are connected, I got armor for my characters in the Veil Guard last year on N7 Day. And it says that it was delivered from beyond the veil. I'm sorry, isn't the Perseus Veil out there? Is beyond the veil, and a gift of N7 armor was brought to me?
This is like a taffy left in a hot car level stretch.
It's not that far.
I don't know about this one, Genesis. I gotta be honest
with you.
There's
a mounted Krogan head in DA2.
Right. They're wall. Easter eggs.
I think the plot you guys are really missing
all
here.
All lore is connected.
Yukon Cornelius in chat says, and Skate is now also officially in the lore and yeah, the right. same universe.
And Apex Legends. All right. So that I'm going to play devil's advocate, not because I enjoy it. Okay. Yeah, I enjoy it. I really think that the whole, you know, everything is connected is basically like him having fun with the fan base and going like the numbers, Mason, the numbers, what do they mean? Because it's fun. Like if you're on the other side of it, you're kind of feeling like a puppet master, I bet, where you know that these people, so many people are waiting for crumbs, literally crumbs. And from crumbs, they can try and deduce what the entire meal upon the table is, the meal that they cannot see yet. And so I feel like he's just having fun. And on the other end, I'm like, it also serves quite a convenient purpose for the development team to buy themselves one more year. Right? And that has been like an ongoing theme of past N7 Days. Like, it's just enough to get us to keep talking about it for one more year and to keep analyzing it. Oh, and look at that. The next N7 Day is here and we get more teases. So that's just me being cynical. But I'll leave that for what it is. Maybe some other people out in the fan base feel the same way. As of right now, where does it look like the series is going in terms of setting?
So I think it's good, you know, if you're someone who has the luxury of having an opinion on this stuff, you know, if you care about it enough to do that. I'm one that has, like, my whole kind of speculation about what all this stuff means, what it means altogether, is mostly based on the idea that I haven't really bought into the whole, like, oh, this game's going to take place hundreds of years later, blah, blah, blah. The problem is that, you know, I feel like I have been able to put a lot of stuff together and it makes sense until I try to figure out how Andromeda plays in, because I've seen some people try to be like, oh, you know, those Andromeda references, this, that, or the other. Look, they've very clearly referenced Andromeda multiple times at this point. You know, in the 2023 trailer, or when they were releasing that trailer, I think it took 5 hours for them to release a 28-second trailer. And I watched every minute. I was there every minute of it. You know, it talks about, like, the Andromeda distress signal, of course, with a redacted date, because, you know, why would they give us that? That would help too much. And then you have that poster that came out with the bar scene that inexplicably has a Geth and an Angara in the same bar. You know, whatever that means. So the problem is, and I acknowledge this with my own theory about what's going on or where they're going to try to set this game, everything I think we've been shown so far makes me feel like we're seeing trilogy era technology, sky cars, shuttles, ships, weapons, armor, all that. But they're clearly insinuating Andromeda has something to do with this. So, you know, I guess I could probably ramble about this forever, but I think for me, I've kind of gotten to the point where I think this game is likely, especially if this TV show is supposed to be a bridge. If the TV show takes place relatively shortly after, now, but what does shortly after mean? Is it 1 year after the events of 3 or 100 years? Because in the grand scale, when you have creatures who can live for 1,000 or 2,000 years in this universe, you know, 10 years is a blink. 100 years is, to a point. You know, without, I guess we can get into more detail as we go on, but I still feel like this is giving us some indication that we're going to be in a game that maybe isn't the year after Mass Effect 3, but is, you know, within 50 or 100 years of it. But I just can't justify that with the Andromeda stuff, because short of going to wormholes or time travel or all of that stuff, it gets hard to connect those universes with what we know at this point.
But, like, what if Liara is chasing that N7 agent through time, dude?
Multiverse.
Yeah. Genesis, where do you think that this series is going based off of what we just learned this past N7 day and considering that everything else from every N7 day is apparently valid?
I think that they are going to find a way for even faster space travel, whether it is technology that is, you know, that they could have found from the Ket, or that the terraforming stuff that they did in Andromeda. I think there is something that they are going to find in the Andromeda galaxy that is going to make it so that way the Arcs can return to the Milky Way galaxy. And with that, they are going to bring Angara with them to be like, okay, we came to your neck of the woods. Now let me take you back home and you can see how we live out here. It could be like an Angara ambassador, something along those lines. That's how I think that they are going to tie them together. I don't think that the next game is going to be set in the Andromeda galaxy.
Would the next game be involving the Andromeda Initiative? Or anyone we met in Andromeda?
Well, that again depends on the time frame and of when it's going to be. Because we do have to think about the fact that, yes, those 500 years did pass. So maybe then somehow once they get the technology figured out there, they are just able to travel back at a much faster speed. So the next game could be set 500 to 600 years in the future in order to make it work.
What does that mean for Mass Effect 3's ending? Because clearly, like, it really seems like it is a sequel to Mass Effect 3, possibly a prequel to Andromeda, maybe even a sequel to Andromeda. But the fact that it is at least apparently a sequel to Mass Effect 3, what does that mean for how they approach Mass Effect 3's ending? I mean, what do you guys think? Are they going to approach it? Are they going to sidestep it? Do you think that there's a way for them to kind of right themselves from the corner back out into a field?
I think that it's either going to be enough time has passed that the way that we got rid of the Reapers doesn't matter anymore. Because if we picked destroy, they're gone. If we picked control, well, Shepard Reaper has taken them off and they're no longer a threat to the galaxy. Synthesis is the only one that makes it a little bit interesting because it changed all of our DNA.
Right. And people were apparently aware of that in the synthesis ending. Like, you know, looking at their hand and being like, whoa, I've got like green cybernetics, dude. Yeah. Like, so people were aware of that. So yeah, I don't know how they can reconcile, because those three endings are so different. Do you think that they, it sounds like you think that they might just sidestep it.
Maybe. Or they could make it such a, the result of how the Reaper War ended could be a small enough thing that this is one of the things you pick in a Genesis comic or in your save games being ported through. So that way there are a few different dialogue things that happen throughout the game, referring back to the way that the Reaper War ended. Or if it was synthesis, okay, you see people with green every once in a while.
Okay, yeah. Bon, what do you think about what this means or doesn't mean for if they're canonizing anything, any one of the endings in Mass Effect 3?
So for me, my opinion on the endings has been interesting because as a newer fan, I wasn't here when that happened. I remember it. I very specifically remember Mass Effect 3 coming out back in 2012, I believe. And I remember the conversation. I remember seeing people on Reddit and people on, you know, all these places discussing it and hating it or loving it, whatever. And, you know, as a newer player, I guess I've also only seen the good versions of them, I guess. And so I just never got into that whole conversation. And so what I have gone on and kind of my interpretation of what we've seen is in that 2020 trailer, we see the two dead Reapers in the middle of that trailer. Liara is walking up one, and then there's another dead one in the background. I've basically used that to convince myself that they're just canonizing Destroy, just because it's the easiest thing they could do. You know, trying to figure out how to deal with synthesis or control is just kind of messy. For my personal take, it's just, I don't know. Like, it's easy to say, like, well, it's better to just pick one and move forward, but that's not for the people who prefer the other ones, you know? And so I appreciate that. I think the whole idea of the game just taking place so much longer after that it becomes kind of a non-point. Maybe you start your game up, your character creator, you pick the ending you prefer, and there's a few lines or maybe a few features that it explains what happened. I guess it just depends. If the game takes place shortly after 3, shortly by within 50 or 100 years, then they probably need to address it. If it is going to take place 500-600 years later, 1,000 years later, whatever it's going to be, they probably have more leeway to just like kind of just brush it off. And I think if you have asked me this 3 years ago, like, or 4 years ago, right when I finished the trilogy, I probably would have been a lot more passionate about it and like, no, they have to do this or that. At this point, I'm kind of willing just to take whatever they give us.
Sorry, should unmute myself. We were talking about how they could possibly canonize multiple endings. And a thought just occurred to me. Do you remember that in 7 Day 2022, when they released that video of the presumably mass relay being built, and then the message had to be quote-unquote decoded and cleaned up, and then once it was, there was the audio of Liara talking to a Geth in the background. Well, if you don't remember that, here is a little bit of a refresher. I'm going to bring it up now.
Exactly. The Council will be furious, although they should know by now not to underestimate human defiance. Jumps worse than must be.
So, we have Liara talking to a Geth and saying, the Council will be furious. You know, they should have known by now not to underestimate human defiance. And then she says something kind of unintelligible afterward. But what's interesting is I hear the Geth, like, you know, squeaks, beeps, whatever you want to call it, in exchange. And it sounds like she can understand Geth and the Geth can understand her.
So I'll throw out that my theory since then has been that that's not a Geth, because a Geth would be speaking to her in their universal translated language, at least from what we've seen in the previous games. I've always assumed that's just someone who's encrypted, that either Liara knows we're listening to her. Now, I guess I have to take a step back too, and that whole image, the relay, that's also when I did my stupid speculation of, it looks like we're looking at a monitor in that. And it looks like there's like reflections and distortions in that picture, including in the bottom left, what looks like a white, red, white stripe reflection. And that's where I've speculated for a long time that we see the reflection of an N7 agent or an N7 person who's looking at that screen. So I've always assumed that that's just an encrypted person, because I would think that if it was a Geth, we could hear them, or maybe not. I don't know. Because it does sound like they're clicks and beeps and bops. Like, I get it. I get why people have interpreted it that way as well. But I don't, like, I guess for me, it just comes down to of like, are we supposed to be hearing that conversation or not? And I kind of feel like maybe we're not supposed to.
Right.
And that this, you know, and whoever she's talking to, you know, to be fair, at the time, they may not have even known who she was talking to in the process of writing the story and figuring it out.
I see. You're saying that you think that she wasn't talking to someone in person, like literally face to face, but she was communicating like with extranet or secure comms somehow.
Yeah. And that footage is like a security camera of like the Alliance observing this thing happening, and that maybe she's connected to it. Maybe they're trying to figure out what she's doing, because again, we have to remember, you know, she is, you know, the Shadow Broker. Like she isn't necessarily, like, she's friendly with Shepard and she was working with the Alliance through him, but you know, maybe if Shepard's not of interest in this next game or whatever's happening, who's to say she would work with the Alliance? Maybe she'd be working with other forces.
Yeah, that's a great point. For me, I think it would be a little bit too misleading if it wasn't a Geth, because it sounds just like the Geth speaking, right? I guess I wouldn't expect them to be that deliberately misleading, but that kind of leads me to my next point, which is Gamble's caveat there at the end of that blog post about there being no hidden meanings in his blog post. Obviously, that was fake. Like, you know, the italicized letters led to the Krogan URL, led to that artwork. So there very clearly was a hidden meaning. He knew that. He knew that we knew that. But he still put in there at the end, there's absolutely no hidden meaning at all. If Liara is actually talking to someone else and it was basically encrypted to make it sound like binary, that is another instance in another N7 day of unreliable narration. So I feel like Mike Gamble might be trying to tell us that unreliable narration is going to be a large part of the next Mass Effect game. And it would kind of go along the visual themes of the clandestine N7 agent. What do you guys think about that?
Well, okay, so if it's not a Geth, what's the other race that we never meet? It's the virtual aliens or the...
To them, the Ralloy, there's a few that I think are in lore, but...
Yeah, no, not the Ralloy. They are humanoid-esque, and mm-hmm. So I think that if it was squawks, bird squawks, then sure. I would think it was them for sure. But there is a virtual race that wasn't the Geth that Liara could be communicating
with. Did they ever name them? Because I know, I just knew them as the virtual aliens.
Are you muted, or is that me?
No, I am muted. So, virtual aliens. I think you're absolutely onto something there, that it could be another synthetic race that also might talk in binary. We don't know, right? So, I still think, though, that this N7 day by itself, him going out of his way to say that there is no hidden meaning in his blog post, when clearly he knows that we know that there's a hidden meaning in there. I really feel like that is not just him having fun, but it might be thematically appropriate to the next game.
I think it's just him having fun. I think he knows that we know that he loves to play his little games, and so he's just saying, haha, there's nothing hidden here, and we all know that that's false.
Okay. If it's him just playing his little games, he's being a little shit.
Like, I think he knows that.
I'm not afraid to say that. So what do we still not know about the next game and its story that each of you really want to know?
What year is it?
That's the biggest thing, yeah, honestly, because we get to do so much from that.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's easy to say, like, I think because I'm a newer fan, I'm still one of the people who's like kind of like, and I feel like I've gotten away from this because I just don't think it's possible. I'm definitely one who would love to play a Shepard again. I'm one of those people who's still fresh. I haven't been playing this game for, you know, a decade. I think that has all been written off at this point. So I'm past that at this point. I mean, I think the time frame that it's taking place in, it's like you said, it's the single thing. It changes everything. If it takes place 5 years after Mass Effect 3, huge implications there. Makes the Andromeda stuff really interesting, how they're going to handle that. If it takes place 600 years, 1200 years later, when there's more possibilities of what happened with Andromeda and, you know, enough time for someone to go there and come back, you know, then that makes things easier to explain, or at least from what we currently know. Yeah, I think the time frame is, it's hard to say anything else.
Gotcha. I think for me, if it wasn't going to be the year, I want to know some basic background about the protagonist and the antagonist. If it's not the year is definitely number one for me. Even like a date range of a couple hundred years, like I would be ecstatic about, right? So I think that's the greatest detail that we still don't have confirmed. Of course, we also don't have any of the other characters, like any characters at all confirmed. I think it's pretty safe to say that Krogan and Geth are going to be in the next Mass Effect. Pretty safe to say that Asari, or at least Liara, and humanity will be in the next Mass Effect. Other than that, we just really don't have a lot of confirmed details, I think. And, you know, a little bit mechanically speaking, that it's being developed in Unreal Engine 5.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that as well. So we're still waiting on a lot of new details, but it sounds like we might actually get a lot of those answers from the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? I'm really looking forward to that TV show. Maybe even that Krogan Civil War will be tied into it. Who knows? But we are running on an hour and a half right now. And
sorry.
So, no, do not apologize. I should apologize to you for taking so much of your time. So I do want to wrap it up here. Genesis, any final thoughts on this past N7 day and what the years ahead look like?
I was pleasantly surprised by the level of vague details that we did get. I was happy with what, you know, because there was a lot of fear. I didn't want to voice the fear. I don't want to put those things out into the universe. But the fact that a lot of my fears were put to rest right out the gate, and then we found out some really fun and interesting news, I am a little bit revitalized and happy and excited again for what the future is holding for Mass Effect. TV show is going to be amazing, and then the next game is going to be freaking awesome.
Right, that's yeah. Yeah, I feel like in terms of definitive details, it actually was a pretty good N7 day. We just didn't get some intense media, you know, like a video or a photo. So, Bon, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously I would always take more. You know, if they wanted to show us 1,000 things, that would have been great. I think it ended up being a really constructive one for them. If their goal is to keep people engaged, to keep people interested, I think they did a pretty good job. I think the thing to remember is that as they likely move into full production and things start moving along, we probably don't have to wait until N7 day every year from now on to get something. I would say with almost certainty that between now and next N7 day, there will at least be a blog announcing full production, more than likely. And if you go back and look at Veilguard, once they announce full production, they put out blogs pretty often, more than you may remember, that talking about how they're designing the game and the story and the mechanics and all that. They got pretty active, and you didn't have to wait for Dragon Age Day every year for some kind of update. So if I maybe I'm being too optimistic, but I wouldn't be surprised if this was the last time we have to wait a whole year to get some kind of official word. So that makes me excited. So does the show, obviously. And I'm hoping it all works out.
Well, I will take your word for that, because like I said, you are a lot more keen on the industry side of the news and things. If we can get some kind of full announcement or announcement about full development, I will click my heels. But so far, I've just been very pleased. So anyway, that about wraps it up for today, Spectres. Bond, thank you so much for setting aside so much of your time, because you're like 3 hours ahead of us and we already record in the evening. So it's like really late for you. But I do want to give you some time here at the end to talk about what you're doing on the Mass Effect Hypecast and what's coming up.
Yep. So I have a podcast called the Mass Effect Hypecast. I swear, after I got all the branding done, I realized the closeness. It wasn't on purpose. It just sounded good. So I do that. It's 13 episodes in. Whenever there's something to talk about, I talk about Mass Effect. It's normally about the next game, about updates with things that are going on with it. I do have another podcast called The Bonfire, which is a weekly gaming news podcast. It's more general, 360-something episodes at this point. I have a YouTube channel as well, which is just Bond Diesel, where I post all those things and just regular videos. And all my socials are under Bond Diesel as well.
All right, awesome. Go give Bond a follow, listen on Spotify or however you listen. And hey, if you're curious about it, you can go back in time and listen to In7 Legends Bitterness and previous EchoCast episodes about In7 Day. Genesis, tell me what you got on your agenda for Two Girls, One Ship and Cyberpunk. I know you guys just wrapped up a huge episode for the Two Girls show.
Oh, yes. On the Two Girls, One Ship podcast, we just had our 4-year anniversary episode where we talked about Liara Tassoni again, because that is the first episode that we put out on N7 Day 4 years ago. And we're following that up by talking about Joker and Edie and mm-hmm. their relationship between Mass Effect 2 and 3 as just kind of a fun little side quest. Before we start tackling our next game. And then on Cyberpunk, we are deep in, actually we're switching topics. We just wrapped up corporations that exist only in outer space. And I think next week we are traveling back down to Earth and figuring out where we're going to go to. So yeah, Two Girls, One Ship and the Cyberpunk Lorecast. That's where you can hear me.
All right, go take a listen to both of those shows. And for me, I am streaming much more consistently than I have been in the past. I've been loving Morrowind. I've been mainlining that like an addictive skooma vial that it is. And getting into all the weird lore of Morrowind and playing it multiplayer. But I'm also streaming a number of other games. I started a new playthrough of Mass Effect Trilogy that I promise I will romance Tally. But I am in Mass Effect 1 right now. And I'm thinking of maybe starting a new single-player game on stream. We'll see. But if you ever want to catch me live, if you want to see my face, you can go follow me at In7 Legend on Twitch. And of course, you can see us here on the Lorecast YouTube or the Lorecast Twitch. Until next time, Spectres, that is it, and we should go. Thanks for listening to the Mass Effect Lorecast. Reach out to us on Blue Sky, Twitter, Discord, Patreon, or email us at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Join us next week for more lore. Same space, same time. Or check out our live streams at twitch.tv/Mass Effect Lorecast.